We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. I hope that you have already found blessing here in the house of the Lord and that we find yet more. Jim read for us from the book of Philippians, fourth chapter, particularly the sixth and seventh verses. And I want to start by letting you know that the thought expressed in those two verses is kind of sandwiched between two other thoughts that Paul has. First, he talks about having a gentle spirit. And then he talks about this whole business we're going to get to. And afterwards, he talks about fixing our attention on the things that are pure and virtuous rather than letting our minds be drawn to the things that are shameful, disgraceful, and corrupt. And in between these two thoughts, that gentle, forbearing spirit and that focus on the good rather than the dark, he presents the way to cancel anxiety. And the cure for anxiety is at root just this simple. Come to acknowledge this truth. God will take care of you. Amen? God will take care of you. He goes over to verse 19 in the same chapter, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God will take care of us. And this knowledge is the cure for anxiety. Now there's a little more to it as a process that we need to get under our belts. What Paul says is, in this knowledge that God will take care of you, begin by just making all your requests known to him. All your desires, all your concerns, all your fears. Make those things known to God. Now I want to put kind of a parenthetical thing here. It's not that he doesn't already know. He already knows what you want. And he already knows what you need. And if there's a difference between those two things, he already knows that as well. And he already knows what you're concerned about. And he already knows every circumstance about which you truly ought to be concerned, even if some of them haven't dawned on you yet. God knows all things. But he wants to hear it from us. And we need to tell him. We need to unburden ourselves to him. The very act of prayer is defined by the word because the literal meaning of the word prayer is to pour out, to empty ourselves of the fears, the concerns, the doubts, to pour them out before God. And when we have done that and created within ourselves an empty space, God is ready to fill that empty space with something so much better than all of the anxiety which we poured out. He fills that space with peace. If you speak King James, it is the peace that passeth understanding. We've known about this, at least people in my generation have known about this since we were old enough to sing in the church basement at the Eminence Christian Church or wherever you were. And everybody knows this. I've got the peace that passeth understanding. And then you say, well, no, you say, where? You say, where? We get it different, I guess, in Eminence. I got the peace that passeth understanding. Where? Down in my heart, right? Down in my, right? We've known this. This peace that is beyond the world's comprehension, God pours into your heart and mine when we have emptied ourselves in prayer, making everything that we are concerned about known to Him. And then this peace does an important thing, and this doesn't usually make it into the songs, I suppose, because the lyric would become difficult. But this peace guards, there's an important word. This peace guards our heart. I didn't do it. And our mind in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you why that's an important thought, because there is so much that we need to be guarded against. Our mind, the center of our rational thought, our heart, as it is expressed, the center of our emotional feeling. These centers need to be guarded against certain things. If I cut to the chase, I would just tell you this. Satan wants to own your mind, and he wants to own your heart. And he's got to be kept out if that is not to come to pass. And he will work through all kinds of dark circumstances. In case you hadn't heard, there's a pandemic going on. You may have heard that rumor. You may have caught the vibe. We are facing some economic difficulties in this country. You may have become discouraged by an extreme level of political polarization in which people are willing even to commit violence against each other due to their political differences. You may have become somewhat discouraged by the apparent lack of progress that the church is making in the midst of all this, even though Christ told us the way is straight and narrow and few will be those who find it, and those who love the darkness will just not even recognize Him or the purposes for which He came into the world. And yet, these things alarm us. They cause anxiety to well up within us. And if our hearts and minds are not guarded, Satan will own them. And our anxiety is the door that he uses to get in. So it is so crucial that the peace that passes understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, because it needs guarding. Elsewise, we will just chew our nails down to the quick, worry ourselves into ulcers, and give ourselves spiritually over to the chaos that surrounds us. Now, having said this much, I want to get to the second sandwich proposition that I see. The first one was that this cure for anxiety is sandwiched between that gentle spirit and that focus on the things that are virtuous and pure. We have another one here. Prayer, and I've already explained it, and peace, and I've already explained it. And in between them comes this other term, so appropriate to this season, thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Now, what does thanksgiving have to do with it? How does it work itself into this formula? Well, it is an important consideration. I have already said God will take care of us. That is using the future tense, and we all get that. But how many of us would like to say with equal certainty, God is already taking care of us in the present tense? How many of you want to acknowledge with me, using the past tense, that God has always taken care of us? Amen? It's there. When you include thanksgiving with your request, you're acknowledging that this process you want to count on in the future has already been active and is continuing to be active in your life now. I'll interrupt this for just a moment to tell you, a few of us went over to that house that I talked about last week. It's going to be torn down this week, ready for demolition. And we put in about, I think, 10, maybe 11 man hours, four of us, at different times of the day. And we took scrap out of there. So for our 10, 11 man hours, we got just short of $400 worth of scrap, because you know that I count everything. And I always quantify things. In the midst of that, when it was Eric and I, among the other things that we were taking out of there, there was a stove up on the second floor. Now, the access between the floors is a long, steep, clear span wooden staircase, by which I mean there isn't anything in the middle that supports it. And it was long, 16 steps, and it was steep. And it was dark because there was no power in the house and there was no windows by the stairs. But we wanted to take that stove down to the bottom so we could get it out and put it on the trailer. And I was worried about it because it wasn't a good staircase. If I had thought the staircase would have survived for sure, I just would have stood at the top of the stairs and pushed the stove once and let it tumble down. But then I thought, if this staircase gives way, I'm stuck up here on the second floor. What am I going to do with that? So I strapped the stove to the dolly, and you know that I count things, right? I know that there are 16 steps in this clear span stairway. So I shove off the top one with the wheels of the dolly. Clunk, one. Clunk, two. By this time, I could sit at the top and lean the thing back a little further so as hopefully not to let it get away from me, because it was trying hard. And I didn't want anybody in front of it because I was afraid in their attempts to help me, it would get away from me and they'd get mashed. So I pushed it again. I got sat down on the staircase, and now it was a little easier because I could put my foot down on the dolly and push it. Clunk. Three. Scoot down a step. Clunk. Four. I got to eight. And the stove tipped forward further than I wanted it to and yanked the dolly out of my hands and went crashing down the rest of the stairway by itself and ended with the dolly and the stove upside down, wheel spinning in the air. Fortunately, the stairway did survive because I was sitting in the middle of it at this point. But I need you to picture this situation, because this is the point at which Eric, your associate minister, had a comment. He stood at the top of the stairs and he said, 19, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. If you didn't get that, that was the numbers for the rest of the stairs, pronounced really quickly in imitation of the way that the stove went down for them, because I had slowly and measurably counted off the first eight. Now, I tell you that story so that I can talk about counting your blessings. And sometimes you need to count fast, because God is good. Amen. And God pours out blessings upon us. Amen. More than we can imagine, from the vast storehouse of His riches in glory in Jesus Christ, overflowing, abundant blessings pour out upon us. And when in the midst of making our request known to God, pouring out our anxieties so that we can be filled with peace, we also offer thanksgiving and count those blessings, we become more aware that not only will God take care of us, He already has. There is nothing for us to fear. But as soon as I say that, I want to make something clear. I am not proclaiming that nothing bad will ever happen to you. If I did make that proclamation, you would know that I was a liar. Because bad things have already happened to you. And bad things will continue to happen to you. But I want us to understand the context of these remarks that Paul makes. If you go back to the first chapter of the book of Philippians, you find Paul making this familiar statement. To live is Christ, to die is gain. See, I knew it would be familiar. And you get down to verse 21, Paul says, I keep looking at this and it may be wrong. There may not be a 21st verse. It may be 20. Maybe verse 20. I'm going to have to start wearing glasses. I can't read these itty-bitty numbers anymore. But he says this. Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life, or by death. What put all this morbid thought into Paul's mind? Why is he thinking so much about death? The book of Philippians is written about the year AD 62. Only just a few things that Paul wrote follow this. It is one of the last of his epistles. He is in Rome when he writes it. And if you've sat through any of my studies on the book of Acts, you understand this. God had to put Paul in jail to get him to go to Rome the way that God wanted him to. So Paul is in Rome in prison, and he is finally carrying out the ministry for which he is intended in Rome, in prison, so that he would be sure to do it. And his time may be limited. He does not know how his case will play out. It is entirely possible that he will be executed. Now, I need you to know, here in Philippians, it is still an open question. By the time Paul writes 2 Timothy, it is no longer an open question. I am ready to be poured out as a sacrifice to God. He knows by that time, but here in AD 62, it is still possible, and he still hopes and anticipates that he may be set free and go forward to minister. But while it is still an open question, there is a window for anxiety. Sometimes you get the peace finally. Well, okay, they're going to kill me. It's settled now. But here in Philippians, there is still a window for anxiety. Will I die? When? How? Will it hurt? Who will carry on the work if they kill me? All these questions. And a lot of others are possible, but it is from this context that Paul writes, let all your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace that passeth understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is what's going on in Paul's life when he writes these words. could have been chewing off all his fingernails. Could have been staying up late at night, weeping with anxiety or uncertainty. But that was not his approach. Those of you who know the seven things that I remind myself every day know that today, as every day, the third thing about which I reminded myself is this: nothing will happen to me today but that God already knows and has made provision. Here is the good news that comes at the end of the good news. If I die today, and I might, we have seen the COVID deaths. I'm not exempt. We just held Randy Reed's funeral. He died of the flu. The flu! We've almost forgotten about that. Kill some thousands of people every year. Took Randy Reed from out of our community. I've seen some pretty horrendous car accidents lately. I could be in one. My doctor tells me I'm reaching that age where heart attack is something I have to be concerned about. Watch out for less stops at McDonald's. If I die today, and I might. If I die soon, and I might. Beyond all the things I've already mentioned, there's cancer, stroke, aneurysm, any and all other forms of mishap, like being run over by a stove tumbling downstairs. If I die, and now let me change this, and I will, it is a certainty. It is only a question of when. And when I die, God will still take care of me. When the final moment comes and the worst happens, the mercy of God will not have run dry. Providence of God will not have come to an end. The grace of God will not be spent, and the power of God to be exercised on my behalf will only barely have begun. Because when I die, and I will, God will still take care of me. And if you are His, He will take care of you as well. When we really come to know these things, the peace that passes understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and we are delivered from fear and anxiety. And thanksgiving is an important part of the process. Let God's will bloom in us with our celebration of this holiday.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.